Jesus challenges the prevailing interpretation of what is lawful on the Sabbath and tells his critics that the Sabbath was made for humankind, not the other way around. Healing the man with the withered hand is work that cannot wait until the next day. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, beginning in the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who preserves life, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Deacon Shannon and I enjoy playing board games. Though we don't get to do it very often, it's something we enjoy doing together. We both have our preferences on what those board games are. I like the more calculated games like Monopoly and Life. In the farming game, if you believe it or not, I've ever heard of that, which she doesn't like for some reason. She likes the more artistic games like Pictionary and Scattergories and those games. But nonetheless, whatever game we play, the first thing I do is pull out the instruction sheet. I want to read the rules. I want to know how to play the game. Because that's what you're supposed to do, is play the game by the rules. Rules are rules and are meant to be followed. Except in our scripture today. In our gospel lesson, we're given two scenarios where Jesus is talking about keeping the law of the Sabbath. One in regards to hunger, another in regards to suffering. Rooted, which is in our Deuteronomy text, if you remember, the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or daughter, or your male or female slave, your ox or donkey, or any of your livestock, the resident alien amongst you, or the male and female slave that may rest, that they may rest as well. And so here Jesus is with his disciples, and our story here, walking through a grain field where his disciples are plucking grain. Now this would be a normal practice of the time. If we look back in Old Testament, there was grain, whether it be left on the edge of the fields, but as they went through to grab some, eat it, You know, it's not my idea of a road snack, but they would eat some of this grain. However, it's the Sabbath. For one, they didn't have business out being about because they were to be resting. And secondly, they were working. They were picking these grains. And so naturally, the Pharisees were upset with this, wanting to know why Jesus allowed his students, his followers, to break the rules. And so Jesus responds with scripture to talk about what is going on. And he uses this example of David. Now, this is David before he is king. This is David when he's fleeing for his life with some of his friends. And he comes upon the temple in which he's given the sacrificed element, the presence, as our text calls it, the bread of presence. This was only to be eaten by the priest. No one else. It was only to be consumed by the priest. But here is an example of where the rules are something, there's something bigger than the rules that takes place. You see, the priest takes some of this bread and shares it with David and his companions, a way to help sustain their life, to sustain the life of a weary traveler, and to assist in his quest. You see, Jesus is pointing out here something that is much greater, a greater value, a greater need than what is written in the law. It's something here that promotes a person's well-being. It facilitates the arrival of divine blessing that David would be as king. In our next scenario, we hear of the story of a suffering man. A man who has had a withered hand, who is at the synagogue that morning. And again, the religious leaders are sitting around waiting for Jesus to screw up. Now mind you, we are only in chapter 2 of Mark here, and they're already out to get Jesus, to get rid of him, the troublemaker, the one who does not abide by the law. And so they're waiting. They're waiting to see if he'll heal this man, waiting to have some other piece of evidence against Jesus. And Jesus knows exactly what's going on here. He knows what's going on in their minds and why they're intently watching him. And he asks this man to come forward. And he challenges the onlookers with a question. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save a life or to kill? Again, Jesus here is pointing to a bigger picture. It's more than just not doing work on the Sabbath. Because if we look at our Deuteronomy text, yes, the Sabbath is something that is very important. It's not something that we should dismiss and do as we please. The Sabbath is meant for rest, but it's meant for rest on the count of the people's being freed from slavery, being freed from bondage, to remember that once they were slaves too, and that how that felt, and how they longed for rest and time to devote to God. You see, brothers and sisters, Sabbath is about saving and preserving life. This is what God intended for the Israelites. This is what God intends for you and me. The Sabbath is for saving and preserving life. Upon asking this question, Jesus looks around with anger, the Bible tells us. Mark tells us he's looking with anger because he is grieved, because he sees the hardness of their hearts. They're angry. And Jesus simply says to the man, "Stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand." And when he stretches out his hand, it is fully restored, no longer withered. This man is fully healed of something that has plagued him probably his entire life. But you see, he's healed more than just a physical hand that looks like the other one. Now he can return to be part of the economy. He can become part of the culture, contributing in his own way. He can work and not rely on others as a beggar to support him. He can enter back into relationships with others because he is no longer marked as someone who had committed a sin and was, or parents had sinned and had been marked with a withered hand because of that. You see, brothers and sisters, it's about the relational healing as well. It's a restoration of wholeness. Wholeness with self, wholeness with community, and dignity. Stretch out your hand. One of the most vulnerable things Jesus could have asked him to do. There's people I'm sure we've met throughout our lives that have various imperfections, various things that they hide, things that they work very hard for others not to see. These might be physical things, they might be emotional things, they might be things as related to our story that we hide very intensely and keep them away from others, maybe even God. But Jesus, just like the man, invites us to expose that vulnerability, to stretch out our hand in faith for healing. With this, the Pharisees leave ready to convict Jesus. They leave this miraculous thing that has just happened, and yet their hearts are so hard, they're so legalistic about the law that they can't imagine anything else. Verse 27, I think, is a beautiful verse in the midst of these two stories. Jesus says, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath." Meaning, we were not created to just uphold the law and stick to it, the black and white nature of it, to follow those rules exactly as they are written down. No, the Sabbath and all of the law was given as a gift to God's people. A gift so that we might live more fully in community with each other. That we don't strive to kill and hurt and punish each other. That rather that we have rest, wholeness, and love. You see, there's a bigger picture at hand. Yet there's always that temptation, just like I am with the board games, to be in a place where we go by the letter of the law the most strict possible way. Because even in that board game, there's a bigger picture. It's about time spent with my beloved wife. It's not about following the rules. It's not about me winning. It's not about even being a good sport. It's about being with her in that moment. And I think, at least I know for myself, I do the same thing in life. Especially, you know, I was being a former engineer, I think black and white. There's rules to the game. There's rules to life. Things are supposed to be a certain way. There's laws of nature that prove this. And I get so hung up in that that I forget. I can't see the human being that lies on the other side of that law. And in respect, love is lost. There is a bigger picture, brothers and sisters. There is something that is much greater, something much more important. It's about promoting a person's well-being and facilitating the arrival of divine blessing. It's about saving and preserving life, no matter how that life comes to you. whether it's stretched through the bars of a jail cell, stretched through a wall from another nation, stretched out looking for a few dollars. It's about restoring wholeness and dignity. You see, each and every one of us, each and every one person we meet is God's beloved child, period. Is God's beloved child. God does not see the withered hand. God does not see the marks that we as human beings place on others, those identities. No, God sees a beloved daughter, a beloved son. It's said that Saint Augustine once wrote or even spoke, I'm not quite sure, to love God and to do as you will. Love God and do as you will. Now make sure you read that together, because that second half can be sound like a fun little free pass, do as you will. But no, it's much more than that. Love God and do as you will, because when we're loving God, we can do nothing but love everyone we encounter also. You see, loving God upholds the spirit of the law rather than the letter of the law. Loving God and doing as we will promotes life. It promotes security. It promotes salvation, all in which comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one, the only one, who saves and preserves life. The one who restores a reached out hand. The one who comes from a God who uses his own outstretched arm and mighty hand to free an enslaved people. This is the work of our God. This is the promise of our Lord and Savior. God is about preserving life, preserving wholeness for all. Amen.